Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 6, Chapter 5, Narada cursed by Prajapati Daksha, text number 17. Pancha vimshati tatvanam purusha adbhuta darpana adhyatmam abhuda abhudasya iha kim asat karma bi bhavet. Pancha vimshati tatvanam purushod bhuta darpanaha adhyatmam arabhu abhudasyeha kimasat karma birbhave. Pancha vimshati tatvanam Purushadbhuta-darpanaha adhyatmam avabhudasyeha kyamasat-karma-virbhave. Vimsati tatvanam purushad bhuta darpanaha adhyatmam avabhudasyeha kimasat karma virbhavet. Vaishnavis, Kema sat karma viravaya. Yadvanam Pusha dupta darbanaha Adyatma ma buddha syeha Kema sat karma viravaya. Does anyone know what the last line of the previous verse was? And verse number 11? Yes, see, everyone has a very good memory here. I remember verses from a week ago. Pancha vimshati 25. Tatvanam of the elements. Purusha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Adbhuta Darpanaha, the wonderful manifester. Adhyatmam, the overseer of all causes and effects. Abhudasya, of one who does not know. Iha, in this world. Kimasat, karmabhi, bhavet, what can be the benefit of engaging in temporary fruitive activities? Huh. Well, they changed slightly the translation here, because they wanted to have some variety. For the translation, Kima Sit Karma Bi Bhavet. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Narada Muni had said that there is a house made of 25 elements. The Haryashvas understood this analogy. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of the 25 elements. And as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, He causes their manifestation. If one engages in temporary fruitive activities, not knowing that Supreme Person, what benefit will he derive? Please repeat. Narada Muni had said that there is a house made of 25 elements. The Haryashvas understood this analogy. The Supreme Lord is a reservoir of the 25 elements. And as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, He causes their manifestation. If one engages in temporary fruitive activities, not knowing that Supreme Person, what benefit will he derive? Purport. Philosophers and scientists conduct scholarly research to find the original cause, but they should do so scientifically, not whimsically or through fantastic theories. The science of the original cause is explained in various Vedic literatures. Atato Brahma Jignasya, Janma Dyasya Yataha. The Vedanta Sutra explains that one should inquire about the Supreme Soul. Such inquiry about the Supreme is called Brahma Jignasa. The Absolute Truth, Tattva, is explained in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1-11. Vedanti tat tattva vidas tattvam yaj jnanam avayam prameti paramatmeti bhagavan iti shabdyate. Learned transcendentalists who know the Absolute Truth call this non-dual substance Brahman, Paramatma, or Bhagavan. The Absolute Truth appears to neophytes as impersonal Brahman, and to advanced mystic yogis as Paramatma, the Supersoul. But devotees who are further advanced understand the Absolute Truth as the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. This material cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the energy of Lord Krishna or Lord Vishnu. Eka desha sitasya ger joshna vimstariniyata Parashya Brahmana Saktis Tatedam Akilam Jagat. Whoever sees whatever we see in this world is but an expansion of the various energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is like a fire that spreads illumination for a long distance, although it's situated in one place. Vishnu Purana. The entire cosmic manifestation is an expansion of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, if one does not conduct research to find the Supreme Cause, but instead falsely engages in frivolous, temporary activities, what is the use of demanding recognition as an important scientist or philosopher? If one does not know the ultimate cause, what is the use of his scientific and philosophical research? The Purusha, the original person, Bhagavan, Vishnu, can be understood only by devotional service. Bhakti mama vijananti yavinyas chasmi tattvataha. Only by devotional service can one understand the Supreme Person who is behind everything. One must try to understand that material elements are the separated inferior energy of the Lord, and the living entity is the Lord's spiritual energy. Whatever we experience, including matter and the spirit, the living force, is but a combination of two energies of Lord Vishnu, the inferior and the superior energy. One should seriously study the facts concerning creation, maintenance, and devastation, as well as the permanent place from which one never need return, yad gyatva na nivartante. Human society should study this, but instead of cultivating such knowledge, people are attracted to temporary happiness and sense gratification, culminating in bottomless, topless passion. There is no profit in such activities. One must engage himself in the Krishna consciousness movement. Panchavimshati tattvanam purushodbhuta darpanaha adhyatmam abhudasyeha kema sat karma bhira bhavet. Narada Muni said that there is a house made of 25 elements. The Haryashvas understood this analogy. The Supreme Lord is the reservoir of the 25 elements, and as the Supreme Being, the conductor of cause and effect, he causes their manifestation. If one engages in temporary fruitive activities, not knowing that Supreme Person, what benefit will he derive? Namam Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaye Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamita Namane Namaste Sarasvatam Deve Gauravani Bracharane Nirvishesha Shunivadi Paskatyade Satarne. This reality is actually quite simple. Irya, illusion, is very complicated. Prabhupada said, Maya means to make something very simple, complicated. Here it says, if we understand Krishna, everything becomes very simple. And if we don't understand Krishna, everything becomes very complicated. And in the case of persons who are trying to understand reality and rejecting Krishna, then they come up, as Prabhupada says here, with fantastic theories, which are accepted to some degree as normal. As you probably heard the example before, just like in the case of their idea that life comes from matter. It is rather obvious to any person with a little bit of intelligence that what Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita is true, that the body is constantly changing, but the person who is conscious of the body, ourselves, we're not changing. With that understanding, one can easily understand that we're not the body, that we're a spiritual beings, unaffected by material energy. Unaffected in the sense that we're going to live eternally. We may be affected in the sense that our consciousness becomes bewildered by the different modes of nature that we're under, but the soul, as Krishna says, anadidvam nirgunadvat paramatmayam avyam, that those who can see with the eyes of eternity can see that the soul is eternal, transcendental, and beyond the modes of material nature. Despite contact with the material body, or Arjuna, the soul is neither doing anything nor is he entangled. Anadidvam nirgunadvat paramatma ayam avyam sharira stopikuntiya na karoti nanalipyate. We're certainly desiring, and certainly our desire is noted by Krishna, who is the supreme arranger of cause and effect, and because of our desires, we find ourselves in different temporary material circumstances. But the scientists have come up with this idea that in the beginning there was nothing. And nothing became bored, being nothing, and decided to make something out of itself because its mother was always pestering it, so it decided to become something. And of course, it wasn't a very good nothing, so it couldn't become very much. It just became some gas. But after some time of being harassed by its mother, nothing, it exploded. And it flew in all directions for millions of billions of years. And finally, its mother told it to settle down, so it became this earth. And started to make things out of itself. And here we are now, that the original thing was nothing, and practically we're nothing still. Although we think ourselves to be something. So according to this philosophy, if we go through our family album, we'll turn the page. And then we'll see, as I've said before, we'll see that there was our grandmother and grandfather and so and so. And then we all go all the way back to the monkey swinging on the tree and the black sheep and et cetera, et cetera. And then we find out the original cause of everything was nothing, just as we expected. But actually, this is more or less the product of not science, it's just science fiction at best, or perhaps experimentation with chemistry, namely certain chemicals. People have come up with these ideas. And because the whole world is more or less crazy in the sense that what is logical and obvious, because people's consciousness is covered by illusion, becomes very difficult to understand. Therefore it is said, Krishna Varnam Tvisa Krishna Sango Pangasta Parashadam Jagnai Sankirtana Prayar Yanti Hi Sumedasa. Those who have some brains left, they'll be able to take to the Sankirtan movement. And people who have no brains, or, as Prabhupada would say, they have cow dung instead of brains. For them, this all seems quite fantastic. The fact that we're eternal, that there's a God, etc. So these are the two points of knowledge. We're not trying to convince people that of anything else. We're not even interested in convincing people the merits or the demerits of the present civilizations or their cultures or their ideas. We're simply trying to enlighten people the fact that we're not the material body, that we're a spiritual being, and that there is a supreme spiritual being. And that everything we're looking for in our endeavors here in the material world, and basically speaking, people are only looking for very simple things. People only want to know how they can become happy as possible for as long as possible. Under the current materialistic ideas, we can only become a little happy for a very short period of time. And they say that there's no possibility of any other alternative to sense gratification. Matirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito bipadyeta griha ratanam. Griha means house, and Prabhupada says here that their idea, or is actually in the translation, that there is a house made out of the 25 elements. And they think that's all there is. Well, whether we take the house as this body, and therefore our whole endeavor should make the body as pleasant as possible to live in it, and to try and protect it in so many different ways with our gates in front of the house and our buttons to call the security guards and our dog and our wife and children, deha patya kala tradishu, and all the other technological advances that they made to protect us. Never mind that all their advances that they made ultimately wind up to be our destruction. Etam drishtim avashtavya nashtatmanana bhuriya. They made so many technological advancements, and now they're coming to haunt us in the form of spills in the ocean of oil, killing the marine life, or radiation spreading all over Southern California and blocking out our view of the nice sun. So we think these things will protect us, but because we're not in harmony with the material nature, they actually cause our destruction. And this is repeated, Krishna says so many times, that they, because they're whimsical, therefore, and they don't accept Krishna, satyam apratishtam te jagato haranishwaram. And then later on in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna mentions that, or at the end of that chapter, what's that verse before? Tasmat shastra pramanam te karya karya vyastito kyatva shastram vidanokto karma kartu miharasi. Does anyone know the verse before that? Because yak shastram vidim ustrite vartite kama karata Yasa sudim avatmoti nasukam na param gitim. Notice that Krishna doesn't say a lot of different things in the Bhagavad Gita. He takes the most important thing. Asatyam apratishtam te jagarohi anishram. They deny that there is a God, and therefore the result is yakshastram vidim ustrija. Because they reject the scripture, which is given by Krishna, it's his very words. We cannot personally meet Krishna now physically. We're not qualified to see him in his original form. But he's given us the knowledge in the scripture. If we don't, if we're not aware of any other opulence of God because of our limitations, we can become aware of the knowledge that God has because he's given it to us in the form of Shastra. So this is how we can perceive this opulence of Krishna directly. But yakshastra vidim utsrija, if they give up Shastra, vartite kama karata, and just act whimsically according to their sense desires, their mental speculation, nasukam naparam gitim. Yakshastra vidim utsrija vartite kama karata, tasas siddhim avapnoti nasukam naparam gitim. They can't reach any real perfection of either knowledge or happiness. Now, of course, people will say that why should we accept Shastra? Because Krishna, at least in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita, has told us that we're not the body. If we can't understand that, then it is a waste of time telling people anything else other than that. If people can't accept the difference between matter and spirit, then where is there any question of a supreme spirit? And if we can't perceive that much, then our consciousness is so covered, we won't be able to conceive of anything else. Of course, when Prabhupada was speaking to Professor Katovsky at Moscow University, he mentioned the fact that the body is different from the self. But Professor Katovsky could not appreciate that, and therefore Prabhupada started to speak about we should try to develop first-class men in society, people with some brains, so they could understand eventually things like this. But Professor Katovsky could not understand that either, and therefore Prabhupada asked him if he could get a taxi. And Professor Katovsky said, well, taxi is in Moscow very difficult, and therefore Prabhupada said, well, realize that here was a person who was more or less completely useless, couldn't even get a taxi, but to speak of anything else. And yet he's a big, big professor at a big, big university in Moscow. So this is the unfortunate state. People cannot understand. Either they need a developing good qualities, becoming a human being, so you could eventually understand some knowledge, and through that knowledge be able to make something of a success of life. Instead, they're simply on the animal platform of life. Make my body strong and healthy to enjoy sense gratification, and create a society, my family, my society, my country, all based upon that. And that's the perfection of life, much like the animals have. But Shastra is meant for people who will listen, and when they listen, they can understand that there is a process of making our life less bewildering, so we can actually understand things more clearly. Even one doesn't understand the difference between matter and spirit, at least one should understand the fact that I'm suffering in the material world. If someone thinks that by illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, gambling, that I'm enjoying, then there is no question of inquiry, Brahma Jignasya, into any higher state of awareness. This is what people are satisfied with. When Prabhupada was speaking to one social worker in Australia, and the social worker could not understand anything that we were doing, practically speaking. And Prabhupada said, well, you should try to help this movement. And the man said, well, I wasn't hired to help you because I'm hired to help the people. So Prabhupada said, well, we're part of the people, so you should help us. So still the man was a little reluctant. He was, wow, I never thought like that. But still, he couldn't accept what Prabhupada was saying. And then Prabhupada said, we're teaching young people and people how to make their lives better, avoiding intoxication, illicit sex, media and gambling. And the man said, well, illicit sex, I like illicit sex. My wife and myself have a good time. What's wrong with it? Therefore, dealing with such people who like sin, you know, who like engaging in sense gratification, it's very difficult to explain to them that there could be anything beyond that. Because they're satisfied with their present experience. They're not looking, they think that this is happiness. They're like the frog in the well, and they think everything is the well. And maybe by scientific advancement, someone may become, and they may expand their well. What was that when you add something onto a house? Remodel their well and make it a little bit bigger. They can't conceive that there is freedom for a frog in the ocean where there's unlimited water. For them, just remodeling their well is the perfection of life. That's scientific advancement. They'll come down and remodel it. Therefore, they can't understand that there's an ocean of happiness beyond temporary sense gratification, but that's connected with the Supreme Person, who we have to obtain knowledge of. So therefore, Krishna says, "Aham sarvasya pravam, matak sarvam pravartate, iti matva bhajante mam buddha bhava samanvitaha." That I am the source of everything, all material and spiritual worlds. Now, for one who's envious of Krishna, immediately this is rejected. How can Krishna be so great? It's not fair. It's not even democratic. This is the age of democracy. He should go away. He's agitating our minds by telling us that we're wasting our time trying to become the greatest, and that he already has that position. And no matter how much austerity we go through, like Hiranyakashipu, how much knowledge we cultivate, like Albert Einstein or others, still we cannot even get a fraction of his opulence. That he has everything eternally, as you say, sewed up, and we're always last place. Compared to him, everyone is in last place. Someone may be a Brahma or a Shiva or whatever else, but compared to Krishna, we're all insignificant. Someone may be 10 feet high, other people may be 5 foot high, someone may be 3 foot high, but compared to the Himalayan mountains, Mount Everest, we're all 5, 10, 15, 100 feet, everyone is insignificant. So compared to Krishna, everyone is insignificant, and therefore if we cross him out, then there's a possibility of competing with each other. And if he's there, then we're all losers. Machita machkata prana bodhiantash parashparam katayantash samyam nityam tushanti charamanticha. Therefore, those who are reading Shastra coming from God to say, it is impossible that there's a God, so if there's no God, then how can there be any scripture? Or if we eliminate God, then where does scripture come from? What is the value of scripture without God? But if there is a God, and he's given us Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam, whatever else, through his representatives, then we can find out about him through the scripture. If we reject it, then of course, why take advantage of scripture? If you think there is no possibility of God, or we're all God, or whatever you think. But if there is a God, then here's the scripture, we can read it, find out about Krishna through those who have experience, who have read scripture and applied it. And what do they tell us? They tell us, tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam. Try to engage in Krishna's service with steadiness and enthusiasm. Then, didami buddhiyogam tam, then that same God that they talk about in scripture will enlighten us and we'll be able to experience him directly. In any case, even within Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Well, now here you are, the soul, bewildered by the illusory energy. And the reason why you're bewildered is because you're looking over the material energy, trying to figure out what's in it for you. And the more you do that, the more you become lusty, angry, greedy, bewildered. You forget and you lose your intelligence. And you're miserable. Just trying to avoid the miseries of material existence and try to find some happiness in a place where essentially there's only a very flickering happiness. But if you really want knowledge, then at least in the beginning, take to some process where you're controlling your senses. You're not just being misled by the flickering desires that arise within your mind or the impulses from your senses. You have some degree of control. You want to eat meat? Then eat a goat, take it up to a hill where no one can hear it screaming. On a dark moon night, when there is no moon, where no one can see you, and before you cut the throat of the goat, just whisper into its ear, "Now I'm going to cut your throat, but don't worry, my dear goat, because in your next lifetime, you can become a human being, or in some future time, and I'll become a goat, and you can cut my throat." How's that for reciprocation? So what will happen by following the scripture? If one repeats this enough time, then one will eventually get some brains. I've been cutting so many goats' throats, and according to this mantra I've been chanting, I'm going to become a goat, and this goat's going to cut my throat. Now, the goat burger is not worth it. Although I like goat burgers, but I don't personally, really. But although the person may like goat burgers, after a while he may decide that it's not worth the trouble cutting goats' throats to get this little piece of meat and having to take the body of a goat in the future. So by repeating this mantra, a little bit of knowledge may be awakened, and this may change one's practical activities so that eventually one will see what is the actual direction of life. Where to go? On the other hand, the alternative is modern society where there's no talk of anything like that. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in reincarnation. They don't, at least not what's being propounded in the movies and the television in general, at the universities and the schools. People may individually believe in these things, but the general leaders, they're misdirecting people. There's no talk of these things. And therefore, people are not very clear what to do to actually make their lives more peaceful, what to speak of, enlightenment and happiness. But we're trying to become convinced ourselves that there is a Krishna, and this process that Srila Prabhupada has given us is the method of realizing him. And somehow or another, if we follow it and we keep on hearing the same message every day, eventually we might accept it, and throughout the day we might steadily and conscientiously, with determination, and enthusiastically engage in Krishna's service. And therefore, when Krishna sees that we're making some progress, then Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam, then he gives us the intelligence so we can actually see how everyone is Krishna's eternal servant, how this whole universe and all the energies within it have all emanated from Krishna. And we may, in that way, we will develop our Krishna consciousness. And the alternative is to hear all this so-called knowledge of how gain money for sense gratification and forget religion, forget liberation, just work hard like a dog, eat like a hog, sleep like a bear, and have sex like a pigeon. And then you're a good person or an animal. But we have an alternative by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada and the previous acharyas. And if we take to it, then we can realize that Krishna will reveal himself, and then we can become a better instrument for Krishna to help other people understand Krishna too. So we'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. In regards to the comment you made, or the you cited this famous, I think it's Mamsa or whatever it is, where the man tells the goat, in your next life you'll be a man and I'll be a goat, you can cut my throat. So taking the position of, let's say, a college student or anyone who's just coming to Krishna consciousness and is interested in the philosophy, what's the best answer to provide them when they ask, or when they remark, that the reaction for killing an animal like a goat is quite stringent according to your tradition? I mean, you come back as a goat. But what's your position? How come that doesn't exist?
We don't say that immediately. Just if you're in that mood, most people who are killing goats, they're on their way somewhere. But in other words, let me explain. It is not that when you kill one goat, then immediately, then no matter what you did besides that, you get the goat's body. No, everything is taken into account, including the fact that you killed that goat. And just the fact that you did kill the goat to eat it indicates that you probably were in a very high mode of nature to begin with. And all your other activities, it's very unlikely, will be in pure goodness. Just, you know, you just had a moment of where you killed the goat. But if that was the case, then killing the goat would not be so significant. But everything is taken into account, and it's not that you leave your body and immediately you become a goat. But you'll get whatever, just like bees. They gather honey or pollen from so many different flowers, and then they come back to the beehive and they make honey from it. So the honey is a conglomeration of all the different pollen that they gather. So similarly, our karma is a conglomeration of all our activities. And what body we get in our next lifetime and lifetimes after that will be decided under the laws of nature as a conglomeration of all our different individual activities and desires that we had.
Thank you. But just in regards to plants, though, that's what I was getting at. But you did answer it. But still, I'm sure people would ask, well, how come you don't get this type of karma in regards to plants? The Vaishnava will say, well, we offer it to Krishna and it becomes prasadam. But
you do get karma from eating plants. You get the karma too. But because the mentality is a little bit different, it's not as violent. Plants are also, they've done studies where if you cut a tree, the tree reacts, but not so violently. It doesn't get the same amount of pain. It gets pain. So therefore you get according to what you're doing. But if it's not offered to Krishna, you'll definitely get a reaction. Everything we do here in the material world has a reaction for good or for bad, relatively. If we do something relatively good, if you give someone in charity something, then they'll have to come back and give you in charity. Anything else? Thank you very much. Krantaraj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Premanande.